It was more fun for me when snow would hit the ground to go in the garage, grab a shovel, and ring people's doorbells and say, I will shovel your driveway for $5, than it was to build a snowman or throw snowballs at each other.
Was it a game?
It continues to be a game.
Yeah, so even then it was a game then.
100%.
Work was a game.
Yes, and an enjoyable game. I think one of the reasons I'm successful and one of the things I try to push a lot of people to think about is, can you love your process? You know, if you're in this, and entrepreneurship is cool now,
yeah.
If you're in this,
too cool.
That's exactly right. If you're in this to flex on Instagram, you're gonna lose.
Yeah.
And I was doing it when it was in the 80s and 90s in America. Entrepreneurship wasn't a thing.
That was actually when this country people thought it was something bad.
And America like, too.
If you're a bad dude.
If you're an entrepreneur, Risk. You're actually a loser
living
off of mommy and daddy.
Yeah,
it was. You're exactly right. You and I know this. A lot of the kids don't know now. It's like being a rapper or an athlete.
Yeah.
It's incredible for me to watch what's transformed over 30 years. But I was willing to do it because it's all I could do. I listen to athletes, actors and actresses, singers, artists, and in their documentaries, inevitably, they're like, well, I just couldn't do anything else.
You think entrepreneurship is a way out?
You know, I think...
Back then.
I think it is for some. I do. I don't think it was for me. I didn't feel desperate. I didn't grow up in an environment that scared me.
Did you have choices?
I did have choices, to be frank. I did. I could have decided to be a good student. I just loved it. I love it now. I love it. I mean, I woke up on the flight here from the US, I woke up 1 a.m. Sydney time, knowing that it was probably in my best interest to sleep a little bit more to get on time here. But I was so happy that I woke up because I couldn't wait to go on eBay and look up the value of sports cards, because in the last month, and really over the last year, but in the last month I've gotten white hot on the theory that sports cards are about to make a comeback, and I wanna buy up as many soccer and basketball cards as I can because I think they're gonna go up a bunch. That's an energy that I, you know, and I'm gonna make no money. I'll make more money speaking in this 4-city tour during this week than I will in the countless hours I put in over the next year trying to buy up Messi rookie cards or LeBron rookie cards. But the action of the game, the what right, is something that nobody else saw. I'm far more proud that I saw social media, Facebook, Twitter, those things, than the money I made by making those bets.
Can I ask you something? I mean, like, you're an intense dude.
Yes.
And that's cool. I'm similar, like, but in a different way. And a lot of people don't like it, okay? But I can just see you talking about just like the cards now.
Yeah.
What is it in the fabric of Gary Vaynerchuk's life? You're going to say it's in your DNA, but what is it that in your social development that actually was formed all the layers get you to be so intense? Because you can't be good at what you do unless you're intense. You gotta love it, get it?
Yeah.
But you gotta be intense.
I think
intensely.
I think being on your own, you know, like not having the luxury, which I think is a disadvantage, of an over-coddling nature.
What does that mean, being on your own?
You know, as soon as I was 4, 5, 6 years old, I'm outside playing by myself.
No brothers and sisters?
I did, but you know, they were 3 years younger and 11 years younger, so at first it's me, and so no brothers and sisters. A mother that grew up in the Soviet Union where the framework was go outside and play. The 80s when you could still do that in America. So crossing the street, playing in the woods. I mean, there's 15-year-olds that are being watched by their parents more than I was watched when I was 5.
That kills me.
Of course it kills you, because you know exactly the vulnerability. Yeah. We're growing, we're living in a time where everyone's a zoo animal. Mm. They don't know how to live in society because parents are such helicopters and 8th place trophies, and you know, nobody's allowed to lose, nobody's allowed to cry.
I saw that on Instagram, 10th place.
Saw that?
Ribbon, I saw that today.
So for me, I think what's in my fabric is having to scrap. I'm from the dirt. I had no choice.
Yeah, yeah.
I fight.
Yeah. And does that build your intensity though?
Of course.
And does that wear you out?
Not for me.
No?
You know, I'm empathetic that it might be too much for others. I respect that.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
I just also can't live my life based on other people's judgment.
But is mom or dad energetic by that?
You know, in different ways, yes, but neither like come across in the way that I do. I think I'm a pretty interesting blend of the two. I'm much more of a showman and high energy than my father, but I'm deeply competitive and the work ethic. My mom is not a showman either, but her side of the family is, especially the men. So, you know, no, you know, I'm different than both my parents, but obviously, because it's so easy for me to read, I understand the pieces of the puzzle that I got from both of them to how this happened.
Are they proud of you?
Oh, immensely. And that.
How important is that to you?
Oh, unbelievably. I'm a uncomfortable advocate of my parents. I'm a deeply grateful child. I'm writing a book in my own head that I eventually put out called Perfectly Parented. You know, most people hate their parents or dwell on their parents, which is probably not true, but spend a lot of time judging what their parents did wrong instead of thinking about what their parents did right. I'm sure my parents did tons of things wrong. I'm just incapable of focusing on that. I'm just so grateful for the things they did right. I very early on decided that I was gonna buy my favorite football team, the New York Jets, and I've stuck to it for 35 years at this point. So yeah, I would say I dreamt about that. I dreamt about making a mark in the wine business and building one of the large retail companies in America. I did that. I thought about disrupting the ad world in a way that they couldn't see coming. I'm putting the final pieces on that right now. So I dream currently of leaving an incredible legacy and having thousands of people show up to my funeral because of the value I provided with no ask in return. So yeah, I dream. But I'm too grounded in practicality to be a talker. You know, I would be embarrassed to talk and not execute. I almost put things out to put the pressure on making sure I execute so that nobody could ever play a clip, because I record everything, of you talked a big game but you couldn't do it. Now, I'm fine, unbelievably fine with not achieving my goals. I'm not fine with not trying to.
You gotta have a crack. A good heart.
Gotta have, like, a real fucking crack.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, one of the best cracks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that I can feel.
Yeah.
I love losing, believe it or not, because that means I deserved it.
Yeah.
But I love the way you delivered that sentence. It excited me. A real crack, an all-time crack.
Yeah.
Last breath, fuck it. I did everything. I went as hard as I could.
There's nothing left.
There's nothing left. I wish there was a couple more years, because I'd still be cracking at 100. But if this is it, I don't want to regret. And you have to be careful, because a lot of times, one part of your life, you may leave no regret. You know, I spend a lot of time trying to be thoughtful of not being a man of the world at the expense of my own children. You see that a lot. I read a lot of obituaries. I watch a lot of famous or people of notoriety pass, and the world mourns, but their kids have very subtle, interesting, yeah, dad was awesome to the world. We wish we had a little, you know, I read it.
Yeah.
I read it because I inherently understand it, and I want to hedge against it because I want to find the right balance. I'm aware of it. But yes, that's how I see it. At the end of the day, things have to become practical.
Yeah.
You know, and during the break, I was saying, you know, you don't pay your bills with followers, and I believe that. I'm also a very interesting messenger when it comes to this, because unlike many of my contemporaries that kind of look like me, one of the core reasons everybody loves me is I don't actually extract value out of my audience. Now, a couple things. There is nothing wrong with extracting value out of your audience. This is the free world. Nobody has to buy your program or your offsite or your master, you know? So what's interesting about what I do is I build businesses that don't have to do with my audience, right? So VaynerMedia works with Fortune 5000 companies.
Yeah.
You know, so my audience is not the CEO of GE.
So can you connect the two then? Can you connect
the
audience?
I think the way you know, it's really interesting how I connect the audience. Let me give you an example. It is very clear to me that we have 1 to 2 clients at VaynerMedia right now that are client. That I would argue that the tipping point to why they chose VaynerMedia versus is because their 17-year-old son of the decision maker thinks I'm cool.
Right.
brand. Got it?
Yeah.
But it's funny, let me go here because I think this will bring value to the audience. I wrote a book several years ago that did extremely well called Jab, 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 Right Hook. I thought I was writing it for the opposite of who we're talking to. This enormous group of people on the internet who only sell. Buy this, buy that, have no interest in value, only want to do top of the funnel and landing pages just to convert you to their $900 ebook. No soul, really gross. And I was trying to teach them, like, hey, take a step back. How about a little romance? You don't have to try to close at the bar at every move.
Can I buy a drink?
You know, not even that, you know what I mean? Like, half these characters on the internet are just like right at it. So I was like, hey, jab, jab, jab. Give it some value, give some value, give some value, then ask. Don't expect. What was interesting is that's who I thought I was doing it for. What it ended up happening was it was actually who you're going for. The people that most responded to the book were people who were super ideological and actually were very frothy and almost hippie-like, building great content, bringing so much value, but were actually scared to go in for the sale. You know, my great ability to both be selfish and selfless in balance, in harmony, pulling hard from both sides has a lot to do with what's working for me. So, you know, listen, at the end of the day, vanity metrics, whether that's followers on Instagram, whether that's the jewelry or car you drive, no matter what it is, at the end of the day, underneath all of that, there needs to be something tangible and real. And if you're not asking for business, and more importantly, if you're not selling something you believe in, you're finished. The single reason I think I'm a great salesman, as somebody who hates to ask for a sale, is because I deeply believe in what I'm selling. Whether it's the wine I produce, whether it's a sneaker collaboration I have with K-Swiss, whether it's Vayner, I sit in this, do you know what it feels like to sit in this room and know, know that VaynerMedia is the best marketing firm in the world? It's empowering. You sell with conviction. And I just watch way too many people either be deeply insecure about what they're selling because deep down they know they have no idea what the fuck they're selling.
I said they don't know what they're selling.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or they're just broken. They just so care about money. They know exactly what they're selling. They just know they're selling bullshit and they're fucking preying on people's fears. And I want to kill those fuckers.